This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. On January 1st, SNAP benefit requirements changed for about 38,000 adults in West Virginia. These individuals must now meet a work requirement of 20 hours a week or be enrolled in a work or education-related training program to continue receiving food assistance. Carol Lofton reports that those who do not meet these requirements won't be eligible for benefits after 3 months.
For those of you who don't know, SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It replaced the old food stamp program. The change affects adults ages 18 to 50 with no documented disabilities or dependent children and the 9 West Virginia counties with the lowest unemployment in the state.
Yep. All right. So you can get 3 more from the grains. We've got spaghetti.
At the Covenant House Food Pantry in Charleston, Misty White is helping her elderly mother pick out groceries. White doesn't currently use the food pantry herself. She has SNAP benefits, but says she might have to start soon.
Do you come to the food pantry to supplement your food stamps?
I don't. She does.
Okay.
What I get a month, I can survive all month on it. I make it stretched. I make meals that'll last, you know, a couple days, 3 days.
White gets $194 a month in food assistance. It's her only source of income for food. She is currently unemployed. But the Department of Health and Human Resources says benefits like White's weren't intended to be used the way they are now.
The SNAP program is a supplemental assistance program. It was never meant to be the only source for the purchasing of food.
That's Nancy Exline, Commissioner of the West Virginia Bureau for Children and Families, which falls under the DHHR.
And over the course of the last couple of years, federally, the USDA Food and Nutrition Services has been moving to more of an employment and training programs to try to help those individuals, particularly those individuals that have no source of income and are in this population of individuals that are really in the prime of their should be working career, and to figure out ways in which we can utilize training and employment to help them to get into the workforce.
Exline says the change is not meant to be a punishment. Rather, it's an attempt to slowly return the SNAP program to how it was originally intended to be used, as a stopgap between employment or as a supplement for working adults. However, critics say that the change is penalizing the most disadvantaged, the poorest of the poor. Back at the food bank, White says she will have to find a job, hopefully as a cashier at Walmart, where she has worked before. She says a physical disability, arm weakness that caused her to drop things, has prevented her from working for the past couple of years. But her doctor recently cleared her to start looking again.
When I was working there 9 years ago, when I left there, I was making $9 an hour.
And so does that about equate out? Are you going to be able to pay the same amount for your food on Walmart salary that you are on food stamps, or do you get more at Walmart or less?
It really depends on the hours, because sometimes they'll only give you 15 hours a week. So it's going to vary from what they can give you. So.
And why do they only give you 15 hours a week?
Part-time people, after the holidays, they usually come down to 15, 20 hours a week, and that's what they have to survive off of. I mean, it's just company-wise.
Is it hard to find a job?
It is after the holidays. It makes it really hard because nobody's really hiring, and they've already got the people in they want in there, and it's just, you struggle trying to find a job.
White told me she is worried that if she's only able to find employment for 15 hours a week, 5 hours shy of the required 20, she would lose her benefits. But Exline says it's not necessarily true.
An individual is being asked to take some responsibility for the benefits that they receive. And so they, if they lose those benefits, it's because they did not register and work with workforce. That's the only way that they lose their benefits.
She says most individuals receive a little over $100 a month in SNAP benefits.
We're just simply trying to enforce and utilize what is available through the federal government to try to move individuals into employment. They may not go into employment. They may go into a training program. They may work some community service. There's lots of different things that they can do. They won't be cut off as long as they're doing those things.
The three-month time limit on SNAP benefits for unemployed, able-bodied adults is actually nothing new. Prior to the Great Recession of 2008, it was standard federal law. When unemployment was high, though, states could request waivers of the time limit for either all or part of the state. For the past several years, the entire state of West Virginia has been exempt from the time limit.
You know, the waiver that we had had in 2011 that said, you know, that everyone could be waived off of this, it was being eliminated. And so we thought that this was an opportunity for us to help individuals that are receiving SNAP benefits.
Federal waivers are now available to states on a year-by-year basis. For 2016, West Virginia chose not to apply for the waiver in the 9 counties with the lowest unemployment rates: Berkeley, Cabell, Harrison, Jefferson, Kanawha, Marion, Monongalia, Morgan, and Putnam, as part of their, quote, plan moving forward, according to Xline in an email exchange. The idea is that the SNAP employment and training program has the greatest likelihood of success when piloted in these areas. Xline says the state will evaluate the program every year and submit its plans to the USDA for approval. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Decreasing cloudiness today. Daytime highs will be in the 30s, becoming mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of snow in the north. Overnight lows in the 20s. Snow in the forecast statewide on Tuesday. Daytime highs remaining in the 30s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday and colder, with daytime highs in the 20s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Medical Institute, working locally to improve the health of West Virginians and the quality of health care they receive since 1973. Learn more at wvmi.org.
Coal produces greenhouse gases that scientists say cause global warming. But burning coal is a big source of other types of air pollution that can cause disease and even death. Around the country, dozens of coal-fired power plants are racing to comply with new EPA rules to keep the neurotoxin mercury out of the air. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier got an inside look at one of these plants in Pennsylvania.
An hour east of Pittsburgh, the Homer City Generating Station rises like a cathedral out of a valley in Indiana County. You can see its smokestacks and hourglass-shaped cooling towers from miles around. Standing at the foot of one of those smokestacks, Todd Kohlross barks out a few orders for a small group of visitors.
We are going on an active power plant and a construction site. If I ask you guys to move to one area, please do it. Don't argue with me, just do it.
Kohlross is managing the construction project to put new pollution controls in at Homer City. Total cost, $750 million. Why so expensive? James Shapiro is a vice president at GE Energy Financial Services, which owns the plant.
So when you ask, like, how expensive, why it's so expensive, I mean, just look at the size of this project.
Yeah, the size of this project. Todd Kohlross points to metal air ducts sitting on the ground. They'll handle the exhaust for the new scrubber system. They're just like the ductwork that pushes air around your house, but they're so big, your house could actually fit inside these air ducts.
That guy down there weighs about 325,000 pounds. That one there weighs about 310,000 pounds.
These ducts will handle the airflow out of the plant's boilers, which burn coal to create electricity. They're big, too. The size of small office buildings.
It's not like you're, take your furnace and put it on steroids. You're trying to heat your house. We're trying to take care of 2 million homes. So there's a big difference.
2 million homes. That's how many buildings Homer City can power when it's running at full capacity. Electricity streams out of the plant north to New York State and into the Mid-Atlantic grid that powers Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Chicago. The new equipment is needed because of clean air rules the Obama administration imposed on the coal industry. These include the cross-state air pollution rule and the mercury and air toxic standards. Though the Supreme Court sent the mercury rule back to the EPA, it's still the law of the land. It's one reason why 200 old coal plants have decided to close. James Shapiro said Homer City faced a crossroads when the new rules were announced.
You know, you didn't have much choice. You either put on the pollution controls or you stop running.
So what does it take to keep 100,000 tons of pollution out of the air? To find out, you've got to take a bit of a hike.
Okay, we're climbing up 6 flights of stairs.
Feeling it?
You okay?
We're heading into one of the scrubber units, or technically, the novel integrated desulfurization units. Sulfur in the coal is a big cause of pollution. To take the sulfur out, Homer City is putting in thousands of air filters. Cole Ross takes me to a room where there are hundreds of holes in the floor.
These holes are where all the bags are going to slide in.
Inside each hole will go long tubes covered with fabric bags. They're basically supersized shop vac filters. The way it works is simple high school chemistry. The coal exhaust is acidic, so the plant will spray it with an alkaline powder. The powder will absorb the pollution and particulates in the exhaust, and the filters or bags catch the powder.
And you got 40,000 between the two units, 40,000 bags. So all the particulate that we collect from the flue gas anyways comes into these bags.
The pollution goes into the landfill instead of our lungs. All told, more than 90% of the pollution that would have gone into the air will get taken out of the plant's smokestacks. Cole Ross exits the building and reflects on the project.
The timetable on this thing was really tight, and the teamwork was incredible. I had my doubts that we were going to make the deadlines when we first started this project, but it surpassed any expectations I had, and it was quite the joy to work on. Best project I've ever been on.
The plant is on schedule to meet its final deadline of April. There's one small problem, though. Those new filters don't take out carbon dioxide, the main culprit in global warming. And the EPA plans to limit carbon dioxide emissions from coal plants. So just in case, Homer City is applying for permission to use cleaner burning natural gas. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.